Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Hello, and welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. Here's the number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Looking forward to talking to you. And at this moment, we've got lines open, so this would be the perfect time for you to call in. I do hear a lot of people say, well, I always get a busy signal. You won't if you call right now. That's going to change soon. 888-914-9149. Had a note here from a... Well, I'll just read it to you. This came in yesterday from Gwen, and she says, good morning, Mr. Madrid. I'm a high school student, and she's in the Tampa area. She says, I'm a big fan of your show. Thank you. I like the fact that high school students listen to the program. That's great. At my school, she says, we do not have a church, but we do have a large gym where we have mass once a month. During gym masses, we have a stage set up for the altar, but there is no tabernacle because it is a basketball gym. During the consecration and Eucharistic prayers, all the students seated in the bleachers stand in reverence, but after they receive communion, they sit down. I know that in a church with an open tabernacle, you would never be seated until the tabernacle is closed, but our gym does not have a tabernacle, so I was wondering if you could tell me if I should stand while others receive communion, or if I could sit with the rest of the students. I don't want to be irreverent. Wow, what a wonderful young lady you are. And the fact that you're concerned about showing proper reverence for Jesus in the Eucharist is fantastic. So let me try to put your mind at ease here. Because the Mass is being held in the gym, because the Catholic school you go to doesn't have a chapel of its own, there really would be no place to kneel. And I presume from what you wrote here that all the students are in the bleachers. You can't kneel in bleachers, obviously. So you have the choice of standing or sitting. And standing out of reverence makes a lot of sense to me. That's what I think is the right thing to do under these circumstances. But no, you're not doing anything wrong. You're not showing less reverence for the Lord if you sit after communion. And I would think part of it is because, you know, people are getting in and out of the bleachers. People are coming back from communion. So maybe sitting is the easiest way for people to get in back into their seats kind of thing. But the main thing is to know this, that the Lord knows your heart is in the right place. He knows that you love him. He knows that you want to be reverent and all those things. And I'm sure he's very pleased with you that you have that concern. So yeah, I think you're on solid ground. If things are different, if you were in a chapel, of course, that's what the kneelers are there for. And that's always a good thing to do. But under the circumstances, I don't think you have anything to worry about. So thank you for taking time to write to me. And do please tell your friends about Relevant Radio. I don't know if they hear us on the local station that we have there, or if maybe you listen on the Relevant Radio app, but please let them know about the app. All right, I have another email. But I have lots and lots of emails. This one comes in from Robert, who says, and Robert's listening in Houston. He says, good morning. I'm a fairly new listener and a Relevant Radio supporter, and I'm loving it. 2! Last week, I heard that you're not a fan of praise and worship music. And when I heard that, .. What do you think is going to happen next, Cyrus? When I heard that...
I think I'm going to look for On Eagle's Wings.
What's going to happen. Do us all a favor. He says, when I heard that, I was so relieved because I, too, cannot stand that style of tunes. I felt like it is a sin for that, LOL. Anyway, thank you for your show. It's a joy to listen when I can find when I can via the app. And that's from Robert in Houston. Robert, thank you. Now, it's just a matter of taste is all. And I share my points of view. I mean, I think maybe some hosts might not feel comfortable doing that. I feel comfortable doing it. I don't mind letting you know if I like I like Tombstone a lot. Cyrus will tell you this. It's not even a daisy. Cup of tea. Yeah, you're a daisy if you do. But I do like it. And when it comes to taste in music, like many other things, I'm just sharing with you how I like certain things or I don't like certain things. And that's all it's intended to be. It's not a condemnation of any particular kind of music. Although, you know, don't even get me started. Let's just not
we
even
cross?
Start. No, we're not cross. Are we clear?
If I thought you were my friend, I just don't think I could bear it.
Cyrus, what is this that I heard that let me think. Some of the voices that you play, I've heard, border on the frightening. And I heard that this is because the electronic voices that you sometimes choose sound hateful and ugly, and the suddenness with which they occur makes it even worse, or so I'm told. What do you have to say for yourself? That was part of another email from someone very cross with Cyrus for playing things.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It makes me feel bad.
Don't be sorry. Sorry. Well, the person who wrote that, the kind listener who wrote that, says, I'm not sure why he does this, but does not seem cute or clever to me.
I'll tell you why I do it. Because you tell me to.
That's true. So you can just blame me. That's true. I think most people like the sound effects, you know. It's like seasoning on food. You don't want to put too much, but it's always good to have it there.
Good point.
So I don't think that they border on the frightening at all. And I don't think they sound hateful or ugly. Are we clear?
Hooray! I'm useful. I'm having a wonderful time.
All right. All right. Saddle easy, big fella. Easy. Where was that email I was reading? So I just read it from Robert in Houston. So it's not a sin, obviously, to like or dislike a certain kind of music. I'm glad you and I are on the same wavelength, Robert. But I have to say, I think most Catholic folk today, at least mass-going people anyway, probably look at it the other way. They probably really like praise and worship music. And I think largely because that's what most parishes seem to play, at least in my experience of traveling around. So maybe that's the explanation for it. I don't know. But as the old Latin saying goes, de gustibus non disputandum est. It sounds very weighty and lofty when you say it in Latin. And it just means there's no accounting for taste. That's how you might say it. This one comes in from Chuck, who's listening in Southern California. And he's listening on our San Diego station, 1000 AM. Hello, Chuck. He says, when I heard you mention an alcohol and drug treatment center in Florida, I don't remember the name, though. I believe that you said that the center does not change the residents who attend the program, or does not charge, rather, the residents who attend the program. Can you give me the name of the center in Florida? Respectfully, Chuck. Thank you, Chuck, and thanks for the respect. It's called the Comunità Cenacolo, and that's Italian for the cenacle community. Comunità Cenacolo, C-E-N-A-C-O-L-O. The cenacle, that's where Jesus celebrated the Mass, the first Mass, the Last Supper in the upper room. And its website is hopereborn.org. That's hopereborn.org. Now, I myself, I'd like to do just some extra due diligence, but I have looked at that website many times. I've explored it. I've read the about. I've read all the details that I can find there. And I don't see any mention anywhere of cost being involved. Like, here's what it will cost you for your son or daughter to come here for the next year or however long of a period of time people go. I think some people, from what I gather, they go there and their life is messed up and they're addicted or they've got other issues. And maybe by the time they get turned around and their life is back on track again, they love it so much that they stay longer because they found a community, a place of joy and happiness and peace and freedom and Jesus. So I don't know enough yet to say with exact certitude that they don't charge for anything, but I don't see anywhere that it says that they do. So my impression is, and you'd have to check with them, again, the website is hopereborn.org. Just ask them. To say it doesn't look as though there's any charge, and I'm sure they've been asked this question a billion times. My impression is that they survive on God's providence, so benefactors and probably grateful parents and families and even alums who have been to this program, and they come out so much better on the other end, and they're so grateful that that they donate to help keep this going. So even if you don't have someone in your life who is in need of such help, I mean, it would be a good thing for you to know about so that you could refer other people. If it's something that maybe your friends or neighbors or someone in the parish might need help with. So again, hopereborn.org is the website, and the Chinakalo community, or Comunità Chinakalo, 888-914-9149. This is a great relief to me to be able to get to a lot of emails, because normally they just stack up. This one came in recently from Joey listening in L.A. on our 93KHJ station. Play that stinger for us, Cyrus. That's a good radio stinger. 93KHJ.
Thanks for the heads 930KHJ.
93KHJ. Love it. I listened to that. I listened to classic rock on that station when I was a teenager. But I've already told you that. So back to Joey in Los Angeles. It's about the TV series The Chosen. It's amazing how many times people ask me about this TV series. He says, I listened to your show religiously, if you will. Love it. And I wanted to find out why people have not asked about the show called The Chosen. Oh, let me stop you right there. I've been asked about this program many times, regularly. So somehow you missed all those many times when I've been asked about it, but it is a recurring question. People want to know, what do I think about it? They probably hesitate because they think, well, if he doesn't like praise and worship music, what's he going to say about this? Maybe I don't want to know what he thinks about this. I'm completely benign to it. I have no complaints. I saw one episode of it. Well, let me finish reading his email. So he says, I've watched all three seasons and I think it's quite inspiring. The person who plays Jesus is promoting an app. I have not heard anything about it on the show. You mean my show? Perhaps I missed one of the callers. I think it is all inspiring and humanizes the way the apostles lived and how Jesus humanly interacted with the apostles. I've learned so much, and there was much research that went into making this series. Please comment on this. Thank you for all you do, and God bless. Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate that, Joey. Well, I'll say what I was about to say a moment ago. I did see one episode. I believe it was the very first episode, and I have no complaints about it. I personally am very fond of the 1977 Franco Zeffirelli masterpiece, Jesus of Nazareth. I believe it runs to 6 hours. So it's not a miniseries in the sense that The Chosen is, but it's a long form telling of the story of Jesus. And to me, that is the gold standard. And I tend to compare and contrast everything else against that. But honestly, that first episode that I saw, there was nothing about it that I thought, oh, I don't like that or anything. It seemed quite fine. And furthermore, and this is something I've mentioned all the other times that this question comes up on the program, it seems like everybody I know, including some of my young adult children, who have watched this series are hooked on it. They love it. And they speak very highly of it. So I can't comment beyond the first episode that I saw, but everything that I've heard from the people that I know and trust and pay attention to, they all seem to like it.
No heat, so, no judgment.
That's right. That's right. That didn't sound at all frightening, Cyrus. Why would anyone say that those things sound frightening?
You do not know what you are talking about.
All right. Man, he just sneaks in here all the time.
Maybe that's the voice that's frightening.
Maybe that's... Oh, that would make
sense.
It's
all making sense now.
Oh, why didn't I think of that? Is he still there?
Right.
Is he still in there?
No, he's gone. I kicked him. Okay. Gave him the boot.
That's right. Thank you. So there's that. Thank you for that. 888-914-9149. We'll get to phone calls as everybody gets ready. We're not quite ready yet. This is an email that comes in from Nicole, and she's listening on the Relevant Radio app. She says, Patrick, just the other day, my fiance and I started the brown scapular. It's a fabric one. I have a wedding on Thursday where I'm a bridesmaid, and the dresses are off the shoulder type. Is it okay to remove my scapular for a few hours? I will look to get a metal one soon for future events. The full scapular would be showing probably in the front and the back. Thank you as always. Well, thank you for investigating this question, Nicole. First thing I would say, just as a side note, would be remember modesty. And I realize that that's probably not foremost on the minds of young brides as they're getting ready to get married. I understand that. And fashions being what they are, I don't think that modesty is high on the list of things that they look for. But I would just offer this to you respectfully, Nicole. Remember modesty. And if I understand how wearing the brown scapular, which is praiseworthy. I'm so happy that you and your fiance are doing this. This is great. It's a sacramental. It's a reminder of your devotion to Our Lady and entrusting yourselves to her maternal care and that she would pray for you and ask Jesus to help you and all those things. It's all wonderful. You can wear the scapular pinned, let's just say, pinned beneath your garments where it's not over your shoulders, but you still have it on you. It's still on your body. So that's one way around it. You could simply wear the brown scapular tucked underneath and have it pinned to the fabric so that it doesn't fall out or anything like that. That's one option. You could do that. And I know people who do that. But I would like to return, if I may, to the issue of modesty. And especially, and think about this for a minute, especially at a wedding, everyone's glammed up, everyone's looking their best. And I'll tell you, it can be difficult enough at a regular, everyday Sunday Mass. Sometimes people are not necessarily glammed up, but they are beautiful and distracting. And so all the more so if you're at a wedding and everybody's looking their best. If you're, what's the word? It's not a uniform. It's the bridesmaid's outfit, whatever it's called. If there is enough of you showing that wearing a scapular would be distracting and a problem, maybe that means is that the dress is not modest enough. So one thing you could do, and isn't this crazy? You're getting fashion advice from some old guy on the radio. But I have 5 daughters, and I've been married a long time, so I've seen a few things. But one thing you could do is just get a little shawl, you know, some discreet shawl that is the color of your dress or something, and then just have that over your shoulders. That way you're not the source or the cause of anybody having distraction. Or worse. Now, there's one other little detail, and I'd like to mention this to you, and I guess I'll say this to all the ladies out there. I've talked to many, many priests in my day for 35-plus years. I had the privilege of being invited to speak at many conferences and universities and Catholic parishes and things like that. And so more often than not, I would visit with the priest after the event was over, the parish priest, for example. So many, many times I stayed up in the rectory having a beer with the parish priest, talking about the church and all kinds of stuff. And every so often when we would talk about weddings and things like that, when it was what we were discussing, I can tell you, anecdotally at least, but this is coming from quite a few priests, that for them, weddings can be particularly difficult if the bride and the bridesmaids do not dress modestly. Because, after all, the priest has made a promise of celibacy, which means to not get married. And it's not uncommon, especially nowadays, for a parish priest to, at the end of the wedding that he celebrates with the couple, and maybe he might have some wedding cake at the reception for a little while, whatever, he goes home to an empty rectory by himself, and he's not married. So I don't want to put too fine a point on it, and I realize that you didn't write to ask me about this, so please forgive me for adding something that you didn't ask about, but maybe it's opportune to do so, that for even just for the sake of the priest, who is the one right there talking to the couple up in the sanctuary, the more immodest and revealing the clothing is, the more difficult it is for him. All other things being equal. So something to factor in, with all respect, ladies, when you are considering what attire you'll choose for your wedding ceremony. I hope that helps. And you got a lot more than you bargained for on that one, Nicole, but thank you for indulging me. I'm coming back with more, and let's see. Will I have phone calls? Yeah, I'll have phone calls and more emails. So if you want to jump in, call me, 888-914-9149. Don't call me that, call me Patrick, but call that number, 888-914-9149. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. If you're in the market for health insurance, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/forester.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Now that's a good vibe right there, Cyrus.
It's groovy.
That takes me back. Back to the days when I used to dance. Now I'm too embarrassed. Who's that old guy out there shuffling around? Oh, that's Patrick Madrid.
Still got your bell bottoms?
Don't mind him. No, no.
Sure you don't?
No, I don't. I wish I did. Honestly, I wish I did. Those would be collector's items. I had an Angels Flight suit back in the late 1970s.
I know what long I'm going to be hair. Looking up on Google right now.
I had long hair and an Angel Flight suit, and I used to know how to dance, but people didn't come here to hear about that. Let's go to Peter in St. Petersburg, Florida, that is. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Patrick. I have a nephew who asked me to be a sponsor for his confirmation coming up in a month.
And okay.
I didn't know what you would recommend. I have the Catholic Church catechism, but of course that's an adult version. And I was didn't know if the Baltimore Catechism, when they said book two, that was for that age group, was would cover the complete catechism, or if there's a book you would recommend to give as a gift for this young man.
Well, I do like the Baltimore Catechism St. Joseph edition a lot, and the highest level book, it has a gray cover, so when you look for them in a Catholic bookstore, for example, you will find three different ones. One has a kind of a baby blue, powder blue cover, one has a pink cover, and one has a gray cover. So the gray one is the one that, if he's getting confirmed, that would be appropriate for him. I am the confirmation sponsor for a few lads, and what I did for a couple of them was I gave a series of books called the Didache series. Do you have a pen handy?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so it's spelled D-I-D-A-C-H-E. It's pronounced Didache. And the Didache, by the way, was an ancient early church document having to do with the teaching of the 12 apostles. It was composed in the early 2nd century. So this is a series of hardcover. They're large, beautiful hardcover books. And you could get one or you could get the whole series. But they cover the Bible, Catholic doctrine, history. So each volume covers a different discrete topic. And you could get one or you could get all of them. So in my case, what I did was I would give a set. And it's like 5 books. And, you know, it set me back a little bit. It was, I don't remember what I spent on it, maybe $100 or maybe a little bit less than that. But it was, I wanted to give the young men that I was the confirmation sponsor for a kind of library that they could always have. They're big, beautiful books. They're going to last forever. Big, beautiful 4-color pictures. Scott Hahn was one of the main editors of this series. So it's trustworthy theologically. And I wanted to give these young men a library that they could have until they die. And so for me, that was one way that I handled this question. But if you want to take a look at that, that's something to consider.
Thank you. And do you, is it because of all the companies that are out there from Tan Books and Catholic Books and so forth, is there any resource that you would recommend for getting that set?
Yeah, well, it's your local Catholic bookstore can get it for you. I'm trying to remember who the publisher is. I think I'm pretty sure it's the Midwest Theological Forum, and I believe they're based in Chicago, but that's the publisher. Usually, publishers don't sell, well, sometimes they do sell direct to the public, but a local Catholic bookstore in your area, if they don't have it, they could easily order it. Or if you don't have a bookstore nearby, you can always order it online. You'll find them online as well. And then there's another one, and this is one that, although I haven't ever given it to somebody, I think one of these days I probably will. And this is a new series by Dr. Peter Kraft. Now, it's not on the faith, it's on philosophy, and it's called Socrates Children Special Edition Box Set. So, an introduction to philosophy from the 100 greatest philosophers. Now, he himself is a philosopher. It's a beautiful four-volume box set. It's very handsome looking. And it's the kind of thing that if you received this, you would place it out in the open where people could admire it because it's so beautiful. But what's inside it is even better. And that is a selection from these various important philosophers. And not that philosophy is more important than theology, it's not. But people can understand theology better if they have some basic philosophical underpinnings like logic. How can we tell when something is a logical fallacy? So since Peter Kraft has done such a deft job of blending philosophy and other commentary on the Catholic faith, this is another one you might want to take a look at. So that too is available online or at a Catholic bookstore. I hope that helps. Appreciate it. 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Francis in Alhambra, California, a town I know well because of the beloved Carmelite sisters there. Hello, Francis.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, welcome.
Hello. Yes, thank you. I'm just nervous. Hello, go ahead.
Oh, it's fine. You know what? No reason to be nervous, Francis. You know why?
Yeah.
It's just you and me and, I don't know, a few million people listening to every word you say. That's
oh,
all.
Oh, Patrick.
Yeah, no need to be nervous. Yeah. Okay, we're good.
Okay, my question is, of course, it's Holy Week, and we want to just and be close to God and close to our family. Well, my daughter, age 37, has been married common law with her boyfriend, now groom, 6 years. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't want to get it blessed in a church. She wants to have it at some backyard restaurant like in Clitridge, La Cunada. And I know the faith, and she's gone to elementary, high school, Catholic college, USD, and she wants to kick us to the wall, kick us to the curb. So it's a hurt and a pain.
How does she want to kick
and
it to the curb?
How does she want to do that? Well, because she doesn't want to have it blessed. She says for me not to go if I cause a scene. Well, I'll cry. I'll just know that it's not a holy wedding. And so being accused of causing a scene is very painful. My priest, Father Ty, he says to write a letter of apology, which I have it drafted.
Apologize for what? What have you done? I mean, did something happen? Was there an explosion or something?
No, the apology is to say my reasons for not attending. Because
oh, I see. I thought you meant that he wanted you to apologize for wanting her to get married the right way. I get it.
Yes, all those reasons, but it's just a one-page short. Just putting down how I love her. I held her as a baby. I want her to be in good graces with everybody, including me. And so I'm apologizing that I just cannot get past that. No God. That I'm not going to go. And it's a crushing. I feel like I've been blown up inside.
I can imagine.
And so I want to know how to get past. You know, I have three kids. She's the only one who's gone through the Catholic college phase, and all three of them are godless because they don't have any reason, I guess, to go anymore. So everybody says,
did she
God
lose her faith in college? Or was she drifting away before that?
Yes. No, in college, it destroyed her. It put them, because when you're just single, you're just, in Spanish, they call it todo volado or whatever they call that. They're just loose. They're a loose cannon. So, yes, in college, she lost it. And the other kids, they just go in their own way, too. They're just blinded by this world.
I have seen the same thing in every direction, Francis. So this is not going to make things better, but it will let you know that this is happening everywhere. It's happening in all families everywhere. So not that misery loves company, but at least you'll know that you're not alone in this. And there are many people listening right now who are nodding their heads and saying, yep, happened here, happened with my kids.
Yes.
You know. Okay, so what advice can I give you? If obviously I can't fix the emotional issue. That's just a matter of time. But how can I be of service today?
Is there a book I could concentrate on besides prayer, besides the divine mercy prayers? And you know, I'm in gym and I'm just praying that, like, you know, every day, every moment, at cars or at my stop
try this book
just driving.
Try this book. It's called Making Sense Out of Suffering, and it's by Dr. Okay. Peter Kraft. I just mentioned him a moment ago. His last name is spelled Kreeft. Looks like Kreeft, but he pronounces it Kraft. Making Sense Out of Suffering.
Okay, I'm writing this down. Mm-hmm.
That book, I think, will help you. At least it'll help you process what you're going through.
And how about my apology letter? Because I'm going to send that off just to communicate how hard the pain that I'm going through.
Yeah, I think that putting those things in writing it's helpful because, number one, it has a durability that a phone call doesn't have, and people can misremember later what was actually said. But in a letter, it's always there, and she can read it and reread it and reread it. And maybe she'll.
And I know
maybe
I'll never see her again. I'll be just kicked to the curb, just like gone.
No. Can I offer any advice, Francis?
Yeah.
May I offer you some heartfelt advice?
Yes.
Be the grown up. Don't let this crush you. Don't let this destroy you. Don't let this defeat you.
Yeah.
You know, be the grown up. You're the mature adult here. And you have to get a grip on yourself and don't let your emotions consume you. I know it's easier said than done. Believe me, I know it's easier said than done, but it can be done. And I think if I could guess, Francis, the worst thing that could happen is if you adopt a woe is me attitude and you are so crushed inside and you allow your emotions to just rule you. You'll never be in the position to be able to be the adult for her. You need to be the strong mom, the strong, courageous Christian woman who is not going to let this crush you. Don't let it crush you. And I say this with all sincerity and all respect. The woe is me. I've been kicked to the curb. My daughter, I'll never see her again. Those kinds of thoughts are not going to be helpful to you. Those are going to make it worse. So you need to shake that off. I think that's my advice.
Yeah. They're washed away. I'm washing them gone.
Yeah. And the Lord knows. And he knows your mother's heart.
Yeah.
And even if things get weird for a while and she doesn't talk to you for a while, in my experience, life has a way of things kind of rebound again. Things get better over time. So it's not a lost cause.
Yeah. That's what the Monsignor sister is, one of the open confessions. He says that, you know, you got to let those people go. You know what I mean? They're grown-ups. You can't change them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly. Yep. He gave you good advice, Francis.
Okay.
All right, chin
Happy
up.
Easter.
Happy Easter. Okay. Chin up. Okay. Chin up. It's going to be okay. Thanks, Francis. Today, we'd like to thank David, who's listening in New Jersey, for donating his Chevy Caprice. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Okie dokie. Let's go to Northern California now and talk to Marie. Marie, You guys have had like a million inches of rain so far this year, haven't you?
Where I live, it's been snow.
Snow. Oh, you're up in the mountains.
Yes.
Lots of snow up there. Are you up by Truckee, up in that area?
I'm in Susanville, near Lake Elmanor in Chester, yeah. California.
Beautiful up there. Gorgeous. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. I'm calling because in the last couple of years, I've had two babies, and I'm starting to get back into shape for the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. I was just wearing conventional workout wear, sometimes tighter pants, sometimes looser pants, and a T-shirt or a sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. But recently, I've been feeling convicted because all women basically wear this workout wear. If you look up modest workout wear, it's like pants and a T-shirt.
Okay.
But I still think it attracts attention from men, and I was kind of hoping like men got used to this because all women are wearing it now. But I think they're not used to it, and it does attract attention. So I'm wondering what your thoughts on workout wear are, and should I look for like a long skirt to wear, or Mennonite wear, or something like that?
Well, I mean, since you're asking for my opinion, I'll feel emboldened to give it, but I don't know that it's my place as a man to instruct women on what to wear, but I do concur with you. I mean, the female form is beautiful. Women are beautiful. God made them beautiful. And men can't help but notice the beauty of women. And that's just how we are. So I appreciate the fact that you want to protect your modesty and also protect the people around you. That's always a praiseworthy thing. It's interesting because in the last, I don't know, every so often over the last few years, people will ask, well, what about, do you have any suggestions for like modest clothing and things? And I don't. I never have because I never really looked into it. But I did look into it, and I found something that actually might be exactly what you're looking for. It's a company called Casual. Is it Casual Kosher or Kosher Casual? It's one of the two. Let's see. I think it's Kosher Casual. So it's Jewish in origin, but it is a clothing line for women. Yeah, it's koshercasual.com, K-O-S-H-E-R, koshercasual.com. And it is a line of clothing for women. And girls, too. And all you have to do is look at the website and you'll see the long skirts and the, you know, the shoulders covered and arms covered, stuff like that. Now, how can I describe it? It's fashionable and pretty, but it's also modest. Probably the best way I can describe it. That would be one place that I've recently discovered. And I think a listener actually sent me a note about it. I didn't know about this before, but I think it might be what you're looking for. You could browse through there and see if there's the kind of workout gear that you're looking for.
Okay. And then inevitably when somebody's like, why are you wearing a skirt? What would you suggest they say?
Why are you being so nosy?
Okay.
Yeah. Are you always this nosy with people you don't even know? You could say.
That's simple. I can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. When people say to me, Nancy and I have 11 kids. So over the years, especially when we were younger parents and we might have, you know, 6, 7, 8 kids and Nancy's out to here with the next baby on the way. There have been countless times when people have made, you know, just really rude comments or asking questions like, you know, don't you have a TV? Mm. Or don't you know what causes that? Or are you done now? Things like that. So I've heard all those rude comments, and I, you know, my favorite comeback was,
"What?
Listen, yeah, we have a TV, we sure do, and if you prefer watching TV versus how this happens, then you got a problem. I can't help you with."
I like that.
That's one way to shut somebody down. Yes, we have a TV. Yeah. Yes, we know what causes this, and we have our priorities straight. Anyway. So yeah, I wouldn't let people get you down, but try that. Try it out. See what you think. Kosher casual. I told my wife about it and she said, oh yeah, that looks pretty good. So.
Okay.
See what you think. And again, I applaud you for wanting to be, you know, thoughtful and discreet. That's a good thing.
Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And may God grant you and your husband many more happy, healthy children. Please, God. 888-914-9149. How about Andy now in Dallas? Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Pat. I was wondering, I've been fortunate and blessed to be chosen to be a RCA sponsor for an adult male, about 50 years old, who lives with his mother, and he's a little bit mentally deficit. Okay. He can't read. And I'm trying to think of something really nice to get him for, you know, for recognition for his work.
Oh, that's great. What about an image of Jesus and Mary? What about maybe the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary? They're often sold in two separate frames. Sometimes they're framed together. And that way he doesn't need to read. He just knows that Jesus loves him and Mary is praying for him. And he could have that in his room, maybe, something like that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, great. Thank you. And what about for his mother?
Are you going to give his mother a gift as well?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe a bouquet of flowers?
He's going through RCA as well. Oh, hey, perfect. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Great idea.
I don't know any women who don't love flowers.
That's for sure. Yeah. You want a quick little story? So I was maybe not honoring my wife enough, and this man told me to go buy her flowers. And it doesn't need to be her birthday. It doesn't need to be anything. And so I started doing that. Man, it's helped.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. Well, a little bit of sugar goes a long way, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your honesty and the special way that you talk about all the sacraments. And I've really enjoyed your show over the last couple of years. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Let's go from Dallas now to McAllen, Texas, and talk to Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. How you doing?
Doing well, thanks. Welcome.
All right, so I'm calling because I felt for that mother that called a little while ago, and she sounded like her heart was completely shattered in a million pieces that her daughter didn't want to get married in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to call and say that to the mother, like, don't lose hope, because myself, I was in a similar situation. I am in a similar situation. You know, I fell out of the faith for many years. I'm a cradle Catholic. And, you know, I went my whole life. I went to church, and it was, I didn't go to college, but I went into the military after high school, and I served overseas in Iraq. And I, right out of the military, I saw a lot of bad stuff overseas, and it kind of like hardened me. And, I fell into law enforcement right after that. And I kept seeing a lot of hard stuff. And for a long time, I considered myself agnostic, and even an atheist, I called myself for a little while. And I'm sure my mother, she prayed a lot for me, even though I'm not going to ask my mom, hey, mom, did you pray for me while I was going through those dark times in my life?
I'm sure she did.
And, I'm sure she did. But, you know, I got married with my wife right now, but we're civilly married. We've been married for about 4 years.
Okay.
But thank God, and I'm sure to my mother's prayers, we came back to the faith about a year and a half ago. And, you know, we're getting married on the 29th of April at our local parish. So I'm
congratulations.
Just saying, like, to that mother, thank you. Thank you. And I just want to say to that mother, like, don't give up and keep praying for her daughter. She'll come back. And it's a testimony to a mother's prayer. Because I'm sure my mother and even my father, I'm sure they prayed for me when I was going through those dark times. So that's all I wanted to say.
Well, I'm sure that's very encouraging and consoling for all the parents out there who are not at that point yet where their children have returned to the faith. And they're anxious and worried because they don't want their kids to go to hell. They want their kids to go to heaven and be happy and to know the Lord. So your testimony is a great, I think it's a great consolation for parents who are hoping for the same thing for their children. Never give up hope. What was it that Winston Churchill said during World War II? Something along the lines of never, ever, 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 ever give up, or something like that. That's good advice for parents.
100%. Definitely. I agree.
Well, I'm happy for you, Joe. I really am.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Patrick. God bless you guys, and have a happy Easter. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. You too. And I can hear the wedding bells. Only weeks away. That's great. Let's go to Amy in Chicago. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Drew. Yes, my thought today is so many of the calls on Relevant Radio, I love Relevant Radio, the best resource, are centered around their children, parents, you know, worried for their children who are leaving the faith, hence the last two calls. And my thought was this, I've noticed as a mother of four, my oldest 23, my youngest 14, that so often in Mass when the singing begins, they kind of fade and zone out. Prime example, my oldest, when she was, I don't know, 9 or 10, she, you know, it was right after we received communion, and I'm kind of nudging her to focus on her prayers. She just received communion, and she turns to me and she says, I can't with all the singing. Mm-hmm. And my thought is, I was just hoping in some of the dioceses maybe that they would have options for masses that might be more kid-friendly, if you will, in the sense that you maybe not so much singing, because it just kind of breaks my heart when I watch them tuning out when the singing begins. You know, every parish is different and all. So I just was wondering if that's something that would be worth pursuing.
Yes, maybe within that's the diocese. True.
What's that, Drew?
Yes, that's true. Oh.
Thanks, Drew.
Yes, that's Drew.
Hello?
Drew is just getting involved here. That's okay, though, Amy. I know what you mean,
yes.
And I do concur with you that often, first of all, one of the problems in general, and you can see this everywhere, is that there's no room for silence anymore in the Mass. It's constantly filled with either singing or, you know, there should be times of silence in the Mass, and actually the Mass calls for certain times of silence, and although it doesn't say that there can't or shouldn't be music play during communion, for example, it is distracting, and it is difficult to, for some people at least, to pray when everyone else is singing because they hear the singing and they have a hard time recollecting themselves. So I understand the problem that you're talking about. I don't know that you'll be able to revise how it's done in any given parish, but what I would do is inquire as to whether or not there's a Mass where there is no singing. And the reason I say that is because in my parish, and I know this is true of other parishes, I think it's, there's a 7 a.m. Mass, there is no singing. And there may be, maybe it's a 9 o'clock Mass, and there's no singing, or at least very little of it. And, yeah. You know, in some of those Masses, maybe they cater to people who prefer to be able to pray without the singing. And so they might have an organ playing softly in the background or something like that. So I hear your point. I think the best thing to do is just inquire. And maybe if you can find that Mass, mm-hmm. you know, maybe that would be helpful.
Yes, I've noticed that as well. My brother will often go to Old St. Pat's in Chicago. And, you know, they have their morning Masses. It's usually a lot of the nice older people. They're often up early. I would love an option like that for my sleeping late, you know, teenagers. You know,
that I can't help you with. I have no control over those things, but
oh sure,
you know, you maybe at the Newman's
even inquiring.
Mm-hmm. Maybe inquire, yeah. Maybe at the Newman Center if you have a good Newman Center at a college near you. I mean, there are some other creative ways to look into that, but off the top of my head, that's what I would suggest. Just look for a parish or look for a Mass where there's a less of an emphasis on singing, if that is a hindrance to prayer. Thanks, Amy. I appreciate that. Let's see if we can quickly, let's see here. Well, let's see. I don't think I can take a call right now because a man has to know his limitations, or he's got to know his limitations. So
you sounded like Dirty Harry just then.
I know that. I know that. Man, we have all kinds of people in the studio this morning. That's okay, though. We will press on. My number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. In case you're wondering about that modest clothing line, no need to call in about that. It's just kosher casual. I don't know anything about these people. I assume they're Jewish, but I have no connection whatsoever. I just recently found out about them. And if you look at the website, if you're looking for modest clothing, check it out. You know, maybe just what you're looking for. I don't know, but I think you might find it there. I'll be right back.